I think, truthfully, it didn't feel like that much pressure because I just, I knew that if I were to take this step, that God would give me what I needed to do it. And I felt like he did, you know, like I stepping into that space was way more natural than I ever expected. You know what I'm saying? And that's why it's funny is it's like, it wasn't something that I would have chose, but because I was positioned for it, I had everything I needed. And, you know, I made sure we got on the Bible plan and I started to set up the space for us to be conducive for as much growth as possible, because that's what I do. And it was natural for me. And so it didn't feel like pressure. It was just like, oh yeah, this is what you do, bro. Just do what you know how to do. Talk the way you know how to talk. Listen the way you know how to listen. And so to me, it was never pressure. It was just like, nah, we're built for this.
All right, hit and record. We're going.
Because God will trip you up on purpose.
Productivity.
To make sure.
Skill set.
That you're moving in the right speed.
Passion.
Say that again, Charles. That sounds good.
It did sound good, right?
What's good, everybody? Welcome back to 100 Conversations Podcast, where we help feelers and thinkers become doers. I'm one of your hosts, CP, and I'm here with my boy, Charles. How you doing, Charles?
What up? What up, man? I am doing fantastic. Fantastic. Busy week at work, but I'm glad to be here. Glad to get back to it.
Looking
forward to this, man.
Yeah. Glad we back in the booth, man. It's always good, and I know the fam is waiting. So
it's still pumped up from last episode.
You know what I'm saying?
Energy
we're not the same.
Not gone.
We are not the same.
It ain't changed after.
So I hope y'all feel it. I hope y'all love that last episode, part one. We definitely had the energy, as y'all can tell, and we're excited to get to part two. Speaking of that, Charles, give us a little recap of part one. What's the takeaway? You know, remind us of just kind of what we talked about,
right?
And let's kind of usher them into this next episode here.
Yeah, so I want to keep this real simple because I'm trying to boil down all that. Go, if you haven't listened to it yet, just go back and listen to it, hit play, and this will make a lot of sense once you start this one up. But it comes down to this very simple, real emotion reaction for both of us. There's a certain point you've invested a lot of time and a lot of effort in the relationships, and we are not the same translates to this feeling you get when you realize I have an overinvestment in relationships that the facts about it don't support.
Yeah.
I got friends that I swear are my homies. We doing life together. And they ain't contributing nothing to mine. But I'm giving it all out. Well, I'm in a relationship that I know for sure has all this time. You know, like the saying that you have, right? Like, all we have is all we have.
All we have, yeah.
Like, that's what it is in real life, right? There's some truth behind that. So these relationships that you realize that you haven't analyzed, the fact that the feelings you have invested on them really have clouded the way you actually can see them, have clouded the value attached to them, and clouded really the nature of your relationship. Like, is this beneficial? Does this work? Am I feeling satisfied by it? So we're not the same was just an explosion of one, that feeling that I think a lot of us have or have had at certain points. But also the understanding of where it comes from, right? These come from real places. They don't start out as anger, right? These are things that get built up and cemented over time. They get cemented over like experiences, and that's something we got to acknowledge, that we all have a piece in it, right? Just because we aren't the same applies to opinion I might have about somebody else. Somebody's looking at me saying the same exact thing.
Facts.
But nevertheless, you know, we believe y'all are listening to this, and we're having these conversations because we know it's something that we can get better at and improve on. So that's where I'm going to start with it today, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, at this point, the way I look at it is y'all are in one of two camps. So you're either listen to that last episode and you knew exactly the person in your life that we were referring to, and you have a visual of that, and you have real emotions that are attached to that person, and you're wondering, okay, well, how do I deal with this, right? Or you're in camp two, where maybe you've never thought about it like that. Maybe you thought friendships were friendships and things were just what they were. And some of the things that you heard and learned made you feel a little bit differently. And maybe you're wondering, well, what do I do now that I have this information and I have friends that may not fit the vision and just, you know, some of the practical pieces of my life. And so, you know, this episode, that's what this is about. We're going to break that down. We're going to talk about, you know, what now? What do we do now with this information, with this passion, this energy? How do we channel it in a way that's productive and give some practical pieces on how we think about it and what we can do about it?
Yeah. And like you said, you're probably in one of those two camps. You're probably in one of those two camps for two very different ends of the emotional spectrum. And so one, you know, the one thought that comes to my mind, I think the idea that really brought the topic for us is, you know, people are really invested in memories, especially with friendships. You know, relationships is general, but people love to put a lot of effort on the fact that we have so much time together. We have so much past together. We've grown up together. And those are the basis of people we keep in our lives for a bunch of different reasons. And some of that is valid. But I think if we begin to question it and think about it, some of that starts to fall flat, right? And so for those people who are thinking like, man, I know somebody just like that, you're probably in that space. But on the opposite end, I think something that I really want to add some language to is people are also really invested in potential. And this is particularly, I think, challenging for us is because like potential is a really risky investment that we give out super freely. And so especially for thinkers and feelers, like why that gets risky is it opens yourself up to potentially be damaged or hurt or feel a type of way through a lot of different avenues, mm-hmm. right? And so, you know, to start out, like one that I think's at the top of the list is that, you know, when you're investing in potential, someone's potential, your relationship's potential, you don't know how long it's going to be until you get that payoff. So you're leaving time completely vulnerable for whatever the nature of this relationship may be. Another piece is you have no idea how much effort it's going to take. Also, you have no idea at what cost will it take for that potential of that person to pay off, mm-hmm. right? Like you don't know how they're going to change. You don't know how they're going to grow. You don't know how they might have to go through their own process. You know, you don't know what maturity or what demons they might have to deal with, right? What therapy they might have to go through for that potential to be realized. And then lastly, which I think makes it real personal, is that you as a person contributing to that potential or walking alongside them, you don't know what it's going to do to you, right? A lot of last episode was that, man, I had this realization that I put all this time and effort into this relationship, and now I'm resentful because this person ain't even showed up. They ain't even done half the work we talked about, right? All the ideas I thought of them being alongside me, building this dream together, there are none of that. And now I have all this time invested in believing that they were going to be a person that I could start planning my future with, and they not, and they got to go. And on top of that, they're convinced now more than ever that they need to stay. Mm-hmm. It's a hard pill to swallow, but I think those are things that we got to acknowledge and I want to call out first, because I think if you summarize both those two pieces, we're asking ourselves now, as people who have identified these two things, what happens or what can relationships look like when you pull back from that emotion? And I want to keep the word investment, because that's what it is, right? Like we attach investments and our feelings into these things. So what happens? What do these relationships look like when our investment isn't just maybe feelings and it's facts? It's the tangible things. What is this providing for me? What is this doing for me? And what is this doing for them? And so that's where I want to start today, because, you know, CP really has, I think, a really great example of what a relationship can look like when feelings aren't involved at all, mm-hmm. that can still be mutually beneficial. So I'm going to throw it over to you, man, because I think this is a great story that people would love to hear. And I think there's so much meat on this that we can really begin to help people define, like, what do I do now with where
I'm at? Yeah. No, I just want to agree with, you know, the memories and the potential piece of it, because it's easy to get emotionally attached to those things, and I think it's only human to do that. And so, you know, just to call out that those are okay. That, I mean, that's real, that's normal, and to an extent we're wired for that, and there's a good part of us that needs that that hopefulness, that optimism. But a big part of this conversation is to get into the meat of that. And so, you know, I'll start with, you know, my experience and my story. And for the sake of the conversation, I'm going to have to use a different name. we're going to use Mark. Mark's always a good generic name. So if your name is Mark, shout out to you, man. But so basically for me, it started, our relationship really came through a mutual friend. So I had a mutual friend at a church I was going to, had like a, I think it was like a, what is it, housewarming, right?
Yeah.
His sister had a housewarming. So we went there, kicked it. And I met Mark there, just introduced him. Hey, what's good? He was just one of his friends. We met. It was really brief. And that was the nature of that conversation. And then about 6 months later, Mark had reached out to me and another one of my friends who was pretty, you know, we were close at the time, he actually asked us if we want to go to a Timberwolves game. He had some tickets and he was like, yo, y'all trying to go to the game. And it kind of came out of left field because once again, we didn't really know this dude. Mm-hmm. But like, we love basketball. So like, we're not going to turn that down. So of course, let's go to the game. And we're at the game. And I remember halftime, we're just talking about life and he just kind of starts spilling it. Like, yo, this happened with my girl and I'm going through it. That's how I feel. And he dumped a lot on us at halftime. And we kind of looked at each other like, yo, what are we doing? What can we do with that? Because there's obviously so much more to talk about, but we weren't clearly in the space or just really knew the context to go there at the time. So we leave the game. That was kind of it. Thank you. All right, man, hold it down. That's once again, like, it's all we know. And then one day I was maybe another 3 months later, I remember being in church one day and I just felt like God put Mark on my heart. And I was like, let me reach out to Mark and just check in and see how he's doing. Because last time we talked, my man was going through it.
Yeah.
You know, and so I just literally hit him up and was just like, yo, man, how's it going? How's, you know, what's happening? And he was just like, and I remember clear as day the text, and he was like, not great. Can we grab lunch? And no, let's go, you know? So I got out, we had lunch. He hadn't gone, things hadn't got better since the last time we talked. And they'd gotten a lot worse, actually. And he had, you know, moved into a pretty deep depression and had some relationship issues and was in a tough spot. And he said for him, it was, you know, the lowest spot he's been in probably ever. And so we're having this conversation and he basically is like, yo, I have a 2-bedroom and I could use some company. Those are his exact words. And me being in the position I was in with not under a lease and I was flexible and me just being me, I was just like, you know, I'll think about it for a day. But in my heart, I was just like, yeah, let's do it. No, not knowing where this was going, not knowing the purpose. This wasn't like a, hey, bro, look, can you help me through this thing? It was literally like, I can use some company. I'm feeling pretty low. And I got a bedroom you can stay for free. So free, I'm good. Let's go. And that was the start of what felt like a year, but was really only a 4-month intensive. You know what I'm saying? And so I ended up moving in with him. And in my mind, I was approaching it knowing where he was and knowing I could. It's hard to say because I believe me, I'm not a qualified therapist, nor do I believe that's my role in the situation. But I knew I could help being who I am and just being a support system and doing what I could to walk with him. And that was the term I kept using, was just like, I'm just here to walk this out with you, bro. Like, I don't know what that looks like. I don't know how I can help. I don't know what I'm here for, but I'll walk it out with you. And I knew me being there, I was able to do that. Right. And so that was kind of how that started. That was the initiative. And then that was my approach as we went through it, and we kind of went from there.
Wow. All right. So, and this is like, I don't want to skip over the fact that this whole relationship started because y'all had a similar foundation. So this goes back to the very beginning where we were like, all right, if we're going to take some of the feelings out of these relationships or interactions, that proves that you can have a quality relationship without having the memories or the potential to lean on. If you're starting from a similar foundation, like, I mean, you had a homie that was able to be the bridge. So that was enough to get y'all in the same space and in the same rapport for this situation to even happen. Right. And go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, I want to be clear for people, because from the outside looking in, you know, I always say that, you know, we focus a lot on compatibility when it comes to any relationship, especially friendships. And this was I think he's a couple years older than me, white dude, just into different stuff. Like, and from the outside looking in, it wasn't something that was like, yeah, this is the type of dude I want to be friends with. Just point blank, period. And I just mm-hmm. want to acknowledge that, because had the situation maybe not have happened, I wouldn't have had the opportunity to get to know him at a different level and get to that point where I started to kind of figure out who this person was and this, that, and the third. But I just want to be clear that, like, that's important, because, you know, like, let's say this person looked like the type of person I would normally be friends with, then this would have been, then you could almost say that I would have had an emotional incentive, but I had no emotional incentive because I was kind of walking into a space that was not my quote unquote preference. So not only was I walking into a space that wasn't my preference, it was a space of unknown if I didn't have any history with or any prior emotional attachment. But to your point, we did have a level of a foundation of, like, I knew he was a man of faith and I knew he was friends with someone else that I trusted at the time. And that was really the only two things that I needed to believe that it was going to be a good thing for me to do, you know? And, right. and I did feel that, you know, the way it went, it was just how it was supposed to go down. So, but it did take a level of faith for me to kind of move forward with that.
And two, right, you believe you could help. Like you said, I can walk with you. I can walk with this person through this. I think that's one thing that we don't always recognize in our relationships, is being able to articulate where we help. Like, I even think this can get applied to friendships or just other, like, you know, intimate relationships. But if you clearly can't acknowledge where you're able to help somebody or where they're able to help you, I think you got some stuff off. And I mean, I'll use myself for an example. Like, that's one of the very first things that I always measure myself against. And I'll start with my relationship. And I test myself to this day about that. Like, I have to ask myself every day, how am I making my wife better? How am I improving her life? And we've had conversations about this all the time. And the second I ask that and I don't have an answer for it, I know I'm in trouble. But like, and that, no matter how long we've been together, how many memories, that question never becomes less relevant. Mm-hmm. I argue it becomes increasingly more relevant over time, right? Like, I should be able to answer that question in a better capacity as time goes on. And I think for some reason we don't want to think about our relationships that way, right? Like you said, I think we like to keep it in the feelings, but I think any relationship that you can't articulate that is one of the first signs where, like, things might be off a little bit. And I want to say this because I think we should normalize that, like, really be okay with saying, like, man, this is, it goes in the same conversation where, like, you should be able to say you appreciate your friends or relationships for these reasons. Thank you mm-hmm. for this. Thank you for that. Right. Like, I'm sorry. Like, this has been really helpful. Like, it all goes in that same conversation that we should know ourselves well enough and know other people well enough to know where they're beneficial and great in our lives. And I think that's something that I want to make sure anybody thinking about anybody that might come to mind in this conversation, like, put them in that context first before you write them off and say, yo, we don't need to be friends anymore. Like, make sure you know that too. Like, make sure you can write it for that person and for yourself.
Yeah, I think there's a level of knowing there's a mutual value add without being like this quid pro quo relationship. And I think that's what people have a hard time with is can I pursue something genuine for the sake of value?
Yeah.
Because I think we believe that to be genuine means to be purely emotional. And I think that's where a lot of this gets blurry, is because it's just like a love relationship. It's like to move into that believing that the only thing that you need is the emotional aspect of love, then you'll miss out on the service and the sacrifice piece.
Yeah.
And it can't just be one or the other. And I think that's what we really want to kind of dissect in this conversation. But I think the whole "we are not the same" passion comes out of a relationship that only gives you emotional benefits, but no real benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're frustrated because when those emotional benefits run out, you realize you don't have anything.
Yep.
That's why you're upset. Because in the moments that it's been like emotionally feeding you, you're not upset. You're happy. Those are the moments when you talk about the memories. Those are the moments when you talk about what could be and what might happen. That's why the memories and potential can be such risk factors, because they can cloud our ability to view that there's no real value here.
Yeah.
I'm only basing it off of things that have been or could be. And I think, my friendship with Mark, like, we came into it only with that. Only with like the, here's my situation, here's your situation. And like, he didn't actually ask me for anything.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, he didn't say, I need you to do X, Y, Z, but me being who I am, I got into the situation and was like, I want to help this dude. And I want to walk with him through this. Like, and that didn't mean I needed to have a sit down and hear his problems every day. It just mean like him waking up and having someone there could change the whole outcome of a day.
Mm-hmm.
Or him, one thing that we did that was helpful that I, remember succinctly was like we did a nightly tea time. Every night we had tea and we just chopped it up. And like because his days were so different, right? Depression is a beast, man. And there was days where he wouldn't come out the room at all. And and I knew he was going through it, but even on those days, we had tea time, and he might not even talk. We might just sit there, and that was what he needed in those days. And some days, on his best days, were like turned up, having a great day, everything was awesome, and I was just there to continue walking through and to allow God to use me as a vessel any way he could. Speak life, when on the days there wasn't life, be a listening ear on the days that, I needed to be, and have a level of grace to how he navigated it. You know what I mean? And so it was just like, I just knew it was an opportunity for that. And I think, and I got to take it here, but for me, it's just like, I just think so many times as believers, we get into spaces where it's just like, we just don't want to be inconvenienced by anything, but we want to be used. Like, we just want to be used with our giftings. We just want to be used with the stuff that we do well. And the fact of the matter is like, sometimes being used means turning, like, just being present. Like, I literally had nothing, I didn't like, on the outside looking in, if it seems like I gave up a lot, but it was just like, nah, I just wanted to be used in that season. And being used meant physically moving my body somewhere else to support someone who needed me, and to speak life and to speak truth over somebody. And there's just a lot of people don't want to be inconvenienced by that. And I think sometimes We attach ourselves to things that emotionally feed us, and we're afraid to be used in the spaces that don't. And so we have a lot of friendships that feed us on good days, but we're not allowing ourselves to be used because we're afraid to let go of the things that emotionally make us feel good. And God sometimes is like, yo, I need you to get into a space of discomfort to be used. And that to me was what that was for me. And that's just how I viewed it. And so it was just like, I got to humble myself and realize that it ain't just about me in this, right, in this situation, you know, just how everything came together. It was just like, I got to allow myself to just be here, be present, and let God use me. And I think to me, I don't want to take that out of this friendship conversation, because sometimes we're just so afraid to let go of these people because we know that we got to go into these other spaces that are going to be a little more uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you're afraid to let go of that ex or that person in the relationship because you don't want to go to the next one, because it's uncomfortable.
Yep.
And we have places of comfort that we build up for ourselves. They're just these little safe havens, and we build them up in people because we have these ideas of people that we're afraid to let go because they make us feel safe. They make us feel comfortable. They make us feel, you know, good.
Yep.
But they're not serving us. And not only are they not serving us, they're not allowing us to serve.
Yeah. Sometimes we use the emotion to numb the fact that we actually have to own some responsibility sometimes. Right? Like, if you're called to do something, you're called to do that regardless if you love it or don't.
Come on.
Especially if you feel like, you know, God is telling me to move here. God is telling me to make this decision. Oh, you know it's not about me, about you. But we love the feelings piece, right? Like, we love feeling good about it. We love getting a pat on the back. Right? If I can give a scenario, like, man, like, how much has love in an intimate relationship been used to cloud actual value? Like, man, I wish I could just say, but I love you, and that should be enough for you to stick it out if I'm not keeping you happy, if I'm not helping out your life. I think a lot of people, when it comes to, like, relationships, really get that thrown off. Like, the love is great and all, but, like, that's not enough to mask my inability to make you a better person.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that we don't like to own, right? Like, because the feelings help us glamorize all this stuff. But we realize, like, and I think if I could pose a question to you, right, did that feel like it came with pressure? Did it feel like it came with responsibility? It felt like it came with a burden? Like, how would you describe the feeling of knowing, like, this person is leaning on me potentially for something, and I also know that I have to be consistent showing up for whatever space that person may need, right?
I think, truthfully, it didn't feel like that much pressure because I knew that if I were to take the step, that God would give me what I needed to do it. And I felt like he did, you know, like, stepping into that space was way more natural than I ever expected. You know what I'm saying? And that's why it's funny, is it's like, it wasn't something that I would have chose, but because I was positioned for it, I had everything I needed. And, you know, I made sure we got on a Bible plan, and I started to set up the space for us to be conducive for as much growth as possible, because that's what I do. And it was natural for me. And so it didn't feel like pressure. It was just like, oh yeah, this is what you do, bro. Just do what you know how to do. Talk the way you know how to talk. Listen the way you know how to listen. And so to me, it was never pressure. It was just like, we're built for this. You know, and I could have stayed safe and only done that for people that didn't need it anymore. You know what I'm saying? And I think sometimes that's what we do. Is we're just continuing to feed babies. You know what I'm saying? When it's like, yo, they're grown now. It's time for you to move on to what God's prepared you to do. And you know, I just, you know, the energy I felt about we not being the same, I feel about people prioritizing comfort and the emotional side of things. Because to me, like, a lot of feeling emotionally filled is just comfort.
Yeah.
Like, if you just want to be keeping 100, it's like, to just like you said at the very beginning, like when you have, what happens when you remove the emotion from a relationship? What happens when you remove the comfort? What happens? Like, what happens when things aren't just, they don't feel good, but y'all are adding value, right? And I think that we have to take this step of faith to realize is like, it's like with God too. I think that a lot of us stay safe, but we realize that the comfort we're looking for in God is through obedience to God. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? When you start doing what he's asking you to do, you realize you got more comfort than you realize, because now you know you're being faithful and that feels mm-hmm. good. Mm-hmm. And so I don't want to strip out comfort and confidence and those things as a whole, but I think if we can redirect where we get them from and say, we're not trying to create a feel-good environment or a feel-good relationship, we're trying to create something that's valuable. And I think we're actually more wired for value than we give ourselves credit for. But we short circuit and we find artificial value in the little things. And that keeps us stuck, and that keeps us from doing more, and that keeps us from really getting into that next tier of what I believe is what we're all capable of doing. And we have people that keep us there. We have relationships that keep us there. We have jobs. We have all sorts of things that we're doing at the artificial value tier. And to me, yeah. artificial value is like you said, it's those, you got a whole relationship off memories. You got a whole situation off of, safety and security. And it's like a lot of the things that you think are valuable is artificial. And so to answer the question, or at least partly answer the question of, hey, I got a situation that's not valuable, what now? You know, we're not the same. What now? To me, one of the answers to that question is do an assessment and figure out what's true value in those relationships and what's artificial. What have you told yourself is value? Because unfortunately, you realize that a lot of it ain't. And what I mean by value, is it actually progressing you forward? Is it actually pushing you towards what you believe is purposeful? Because once you start getting real about those things, you can start to unfortunately have those hard moments. But
yeah,
but having those hard moments brings you one step closer to where your deepest core wants to go.
Right.
You know, and I think that many of us, if not all of us, have that deepest core like feeling that we're fighting by staying in spaces that are just comfortable and emotionally rewarding.
Right. I mean, a lot of people think that like relationship is not natural. Mm. They are natural. Right. Like these are, like you said, these are all the other things we place on top of relationship comfort and emotion. But the process of relationship is a natural occurrence. So the same reason why we can think about all the friends that we are in these situations with, or relationships with people that we are in these situations with, there's other people you can think of that you might not talk for 10 years. It's like you get together. Oh, we like this. Me and so-and-so, we can talk once every year, but we already on the same page. And I think that just goes to show that like relationship is a natural process.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just the same way, right? Like you grow up, and when you feel spiritually moved to someplace, nobody had to tell you to identify what feels like might be right or wrong, right? That's something that's already embedded in you. And I think we're talking about the same thing here. And so where I want to step this forward a little bit is, you know, in the relationship you had with Mark,
mm-hmm.
at what point did you get comfortable realizing like, I'm owning this piece of our relationship now, right? My role in here, this is the thing that I feel really comfortable owning. Because I think that's one thing that we don't necessarily do in this whole conversation. And I think it really begins to separate like taking accountability for where we are is like, can I identify where I own in this space? And so at what point did you get to that point?
Yeah, I think, you know, it was probably like month two, right?
Yeah.
Month one was just getting to know each other, getting comfortable in a new space. You know, it was like college. Like, your freshman roommate, you're just trying to figure it out. But eventually it was just like, I really owned the fact that, like, I was here to walk through this season and to be a real friend to this person. And what does this mean? And what is it asking me to do that's in my wheelhouse? And what is it asking me to do that's not? It's uncomfortable for me.
Yeah.
And it was a mix of both, you know? And it got to the point where it was like, it's like one of those movie scenes, right? Where it's just like these two people just start living life together. And all of a sudden it starts going really well. We start going, trying new restaurants together. We start going out, grabbing drinks. We start doing different things. And like, we started to really enjoy each other, like truthfully, right? And I think that was when it started to turn, because I knew that my role was to walk him through the season, but in the process, I ended up having a lot of fun, and it brought me joy that I'd never anticipated. Because in my mind, I was like, yo, I'm just here for the mission. I'm just here for the, you know, I'm just here for the this specific thing. But as I owned my role in it, I felt that I had benefits that I never anticipated would happen. And I ended up, you know, actually making a solid friend out of it. And that was not planned, right? Yeah. I thought I was just a passenger.
Yeah.
But truthfully, like, it ended up being something that was much bigger than that. And it's still been beneficial for me. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, then month three, you know, Mark starts to have more good days than bad days. And things start to really turn and the conversation starts to turn. And a relationship that I thought was about me here for someone ended up being there for me too.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That was like the really dope piece to it, where I think we come into situations thinking that, oh, I'm just here to help, and it's one-sided. And what I learned that is when you own your piece, it ends up being beneficial because the other person is free to give back to you and to be themselves. And it just works. It just works. And we never had to have that conversation. We both naturally do what we do well, you know. And Mark was no joke. Like, he was he had a pretty like high level engineering job. And he started to get excited about quitting and doing different things. And like, but he was a really, really smart cat. Like, that was the thing. Like, he wasn't just confused about life. Like, my man was smart. He just was battling mentally, right? And so as he began to have more good days, him being smart really started to add value to me, because like, my man is really a beast when it comes down to it.
Right,
when he 100, he's somebody I can really rock with because he's there. You know, we can have those conversations. And from a value perspective, we're aligned on many things. We begin to really start to have some solid conversations, and it really began to be an iron sharpens iron situation. So, you know, me being able to support him from the mental health side and just from the emotional, just get back side, which is where I'm strong, he was able to really come hit me with like the strategic leg of things. And that's just became really dope. And it was something I just couldn't have planned, or things I didn't even know going in, because I didn't know anything going in. So,
I mean, and I think I want to paint this picture, and you mentioned it earlier, right? Like, we add so many pieces that comfort our relationship on the feeling side that we don't leave room for, I think, a little bit, you said value, and I think value is the best word for it, right? Like, there's value in more transaction in relationships. And if I could paint a picture for like business, right? So if you're in business and you're offering value, when that value starts to fade, guess what? Somebody gets fired. But for some reason, we don't fire our friends. We can't do that. Or we feel like we can't do that. But I think that's also the identification that like value shouldn't be assessed in the same way. And what I argue is like the quality of who you are and who you impact is really dependent upon how well you can quickly identify and accept value you offer people and to yourself.
Yeah.
And I think that's like the, you know, the we aren't the same. It sounds great and all, but like in reality, it's so pivotal for us to understand why we aren't the same. And the fact that we can have this conversation right now and pick this apart, like also helps us identify why we're uniquely positioned and called in some instances to address this and call this out and accept that calling.
Yeah.
I think like as much as we can lean on the feeling side, understanding that's important, we also have to work this other muscle where I'm meant to be in this person's life for a certain reason and for a certain season. And I think you were able to do that really well with Mark. And I think for those people that we identified at the beginning of this episode, they're also in that same conversation.
Yeah.
That season just might have been really long and it might have really been crowded by feelings that have caused comfort. But like, take that relationship back to the very beginning, right? When it started to develop organically, like, what were you called to do for that person? What was that person called to do for you?
Mm-hmm.
What was God calling you to do in that person's life? Getting back to some of that stuff, we can start realizing that like the value is there. Like it's, we might have to clarify it again. We had to pull it out. But like you said, like so much of this has gotten clouded by the emotions that we can't even see what we're supposed to pull away from this. And I'm sure now you can look at yourself and I would ask this question to you, right? Like now that this season has passed, and I would like you to touch on like how it ended, right? Like y'all physically separated, but also
no question.
Now that we're on the other side of that, what have you realized over time that that has taught you that you've been able to use in other scenarios?
Yeah. So, I mean, just to wrap up how it ended really was, well, eventually our lease ended, right? I mean, that was I knew going in, it was a short term thing. I knew it was a time frame.
Right.
But I had no time frame on the depression, right? I didn't know how God would wrap that up. But in his time, like I said, he just began to have more good days and bad days. He ended up deciding to quit his job and move to Argentina for a few months.
Wow, okay.
And he planned it and he walked through it and half of me didn't think he was serious, but he really did it, you know, and now he's actually in MBA school at Cornell, getting it in. So it's just like he knew he needed a break and he knew he needed a switch. And that was kind of his way of doing it. So the lease ended. We actually had entertained getting a spot together, but that just didn't work out. And he really wanted to commit to moving to Argentina, making that happen. And he did. So that was it, you know. And then since then, we've hung out and communicated. We still talk, you know, once, twice a month. Check in, that type of thing. We went golfing a few times together, whatever the case may be. But now the roles are just, we're just friends, right? We just get to be friends. And so I think what I've been able to take away from that is being obedient and what it can provide and what it can allow, what it can do for you. You know, and just like giving grace and giving time and space to opportunities that you just don't know, that aren't maybe your preference. It's completely opened my mind to how those things can unfold. And as you were just talking, I just kept thinking like, yo, like regardless of the emotional comfort we're getting, we just have to realize that I just believe that God's purpose is just too big for us to just be living at emotional comfort. You know what I'm saying? Like, That really lit a fire under me after that, because it was just like, yo, my man's going through depression. What if I just didn't want to do it? And I'm not saying that, like, I'm not in any way do I think that I was the reason that, you know, he was able to work through it. But I know God used me to help. And so it's just like, this is one example of how God allows us to be helpful in the world. And so it's just like, where am I not allowing him to be helpful? And who and what am I staying attached to that's not helpful? and realizing that it just isn't about me. I'm just not here for me no more. I'm not here for the stuff that I want to accomplish and I want to do and I want to make happen. It's like, yeah, dreams and visions and all that are cool, but it's like my vision got to be bigger than me. And I think a lot of our generation is very self-induced with just what we want to do. And a lot of visions don't go outside of us. And we're just trying to leverage what we're like, leverage ourselves now to build comfort later. And I think living purpose-filled only finds comfort in the fact that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing versus finding comfort in the ending or how it all plans out. And I'm not saying that like you just need to, you know, yeah, I'm not saying you can't enjoy comforts along the way and God doesn't find ways to do that, because the truth is, like I said before, I found joy in this season way more than I thought. This wasn't like I was a nomad for 4 or 5 months and like it was just a grind for me and I was just doing God's will for my life and I was just being an obedient soldier. It was like, that's what we think when we hear obedience and when we hear walking it out. And he was like, nah, I just said yes. And God filled me with something I didn't know I needed in that time. And I ended up having a blast. So that's what it looks like. And that's what it can feel like. It just wasn't planned. It was ordained. And I think there's a difference because I'm following someone else's game plan and allowing them to be the source of comfort and finding comfort in the fact that I'm walking their plan out, right? So I learned a ton and it motivated me and it uplifted me and encouraged me to know that like God doesn't just want me to like, the sacrifice isn't just sacrifice. He has joy at every stop. You know what I'm saying? And that was what's really cool about it. Was just like, it was so much bigger. God is so much bigger and he cares so much more than we anticipate. And that's what was cool. And so I learned a lot, man. And now I think it's helped me to view these friendships in a different way and connects to the we are not the same conversation, because me and Mark were not the same. Like, let's just like, let me just say that we were not the same when it comes to people I would choose to engage in friendship off compatibility, but we both were able to add value and we learned that we were much more similar than different. And that was what really dope, because I couldn't have mapped that out. So I learned a lot, man. I'm still learning, but
yeah,
you know, relationships are so powerful. And if we think that we have the capability of choosing the best relationships and the ones that we need all the time, we're going to miss out on a lot, because you don't know what's on the other side of a lot of relationships and a lot of interactions. So you have to have some level of like, let me have faith in this to figure out if this person is really dope, you know? It's like, if you just choosing, you know, shawty's off the surface, off what you believe is your type or compatibility, you're going to struggle. Because you don't know what's on the other side of that. And you're not going to give space or opportunity to entertain people that, not to say that you know, you're not attracted to, but just that you might not think are what you need, you know? So I'm learning. We're learning.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of touched on where I want to end it. Like, we are not the same had a very specific connotation that was true, but we are not the same also means as thinkers and feelers, we're uniquely positioned to identify what we do well and find out how that's supposed to help other people, right? Like, yeah, the whole process that we just talked about, you went through. Right, you had to be honest with yourself enough to say, like, man, what am I meant to do for this person right now in this time? What am I meant to take away from this? What am I meant to keep doing? Like you said, y'all keep up with Mark outside of this, right? Y'all still have a relationship, right? Like, those are really invaluable things that I think all of us are challenged specifically. We're going to dive into this in part 3 with, like, all right, we've identified what these feelings are, how they come up. Now we've identified possible scenarios where what happens when those feelings are removed? What could that look like? What does that mean for what I'm called to do and where I'm meant to be? Now let's take these thinking and feeling superpowers that we have and find the best ways to fulfill what we're called to do. Like, why would, what do we have with the way we think and the way we feel uniquely positions us to help somebody, to serve, to follow the calling when we need it, right? And that starts with, this is a great scenario with Mark, because we had the luxury of, you had the luxury of saying, like, I don't know this person. And we can look at this from like a start. I had a finite time when we met.
Yeah.
When I had this opportunity when I left. But like, we still have those opportunities with all the friendships that we just talked about in episode one, in part one.
Right.
Right. Like, those are still there. Those are still, like you said in the beginning, right? You probably thought about somebody you might know. Or somebody that you already knew who was like that. And then somebody who reminded you, like, those people are still your relationships right now. Like, you still have to do something with that.
Yeah.
And next, I just, go ahead.
No, I just want to say this before you wrap it up, for real. But like, when I got there, when I got into the situation, I never once had to ask myself, what is my role? I felt like my role was prepared. Like I said before, it was way more natural. And as you said, we're going to talk next week about the unique aspects of thinkers and feelers. But I just want to say, like, a lot of people, their biggest pain point is, how do I use my gift? I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know how to create whatever. You just have a desire to use it and to give it out. But you're not allowing yourself to go out and use it. And you want to identify a place to use it and then go, rather than go and then use it as you go. And for me, the gifts that I've had have been pretty consistent. And I've always looked for opportunities to use them. And there it was. Natural. Didn't have to do nothing. Didn't have to think about it. Didn't have to, nothing. Prepared. And I think, like, I just want to call that out before we wrap this up, because we're stressing out and we're anxious about being used and being purposeful and being obedient, but you're not moving. You're not uncomfortable. You're not doing anything to allow yourself the space to be used and utilized and to add value to those that you don't know, those that you may not be comfortable with, and just people who don't emotionally feed you the way you want. We talked in the first episode, and that's the last thing I'm going to say. I know I'll be talking, but the first episode, we mentioned heavy about the feedback loop, the emotional feedback loop. And we talked about the fact that when you use your gift, that's what really makes you feel good, because it's the feedback loop that you get from using your gift. And so the more we understand that it's not the people that we're attaching to, it's the feeling that they're giving us through the feedback loop that's making us feel good, the more we can understand that we can leave those people, find new people, find new spaces to add value, get the same feedback loop and the same feeling that's keeping us where we are. So you can find a feeling in a new place. Because the feedback loop exists outside of the person. It doesn't exist to the person. That person is just a guaranteed feedback loop, because you've been there a while and you know it's guaranteed. At some point, you got to give yourself space to give new feedback loops. And then when you really master this, the ultimate feedback loop is when you just do everything for God, and that's your feedback loop. And pleasing God is your feedback loop. That's what makes you feel good. When you get to that point, that's mastery in my mind. But right now, we may not all be there. I'm not there quite yet. But truthfully, I think that's the pinnacle of how feelers and thinker can master that part of it. So that's all I got, man. I just had to say that. But I think that's a big piece.
I mean, that's it, right? Like, how do we start off every episode, right? Let's help thinkers and feelers become doers. What you just did in that story that's the doing. Like, literally, that's the doing. And doing from being led. I mean, word says what? therefore go and make disciples of all nations. That's the doing. Like, we have to physically go. It has to lead us to do something, or position and prepare, like you said, to do something, right? And we don't have to. Once again, this is part two, but like it is that deep. And I appreciate you sharing that story, because I think it paints the perfect picture of why this stuff is so important to identify, but also for us to act upon.
Yeah,
right. Like, this should be talked about enough so we can say, okay, now that I know this, like, what do we do with this? What can I do with this? So
that's it.
I'll leave it at that for now. We'll get into it in part three. But appreciate y'all for tuning in. You got any last words, CP? You look like you got one more.
If I start, I won't stop. See, so there we go. Let's wrap this thing.
There we go. Appreciate y'all for listening and tuning in. Hopefully y'all tune in next week. Outside of that, we out.
Peace, y'all.